time.
Okay, well, it's so good to be here.
No, it's so good to be here with you guys, and here in Stockholm again. And let's just... I'm going to be looking at that the entire time. No, let's pray. Lord, we just pray for these thoughts that you'll just really speak to us now, Father, in a powerful way. Amen. And build us up, God. We ask in your name. Amen. Just a few thoughts. I'll try to... How much time do I have, Pastor Michael? 5 minutes?
A little bit more.
A little bit more. Maybe I'll even stand up because I think it'll be easier for me. And let's see, I was just thinking about one particular verse that Deuteronomy 29:29. I'll just read that for you. I don't need to necessarily turn there, but just thinking about this verse recently. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I was just thinking about how so many times I think the enemy really wants to get us distracted with thoughts that really we don't need to concern ourselves with. Or get us thinking about things that are not true, because obviously the enemy has a very specific plan to take our mind off of him, off the Lord, and place that on details and things that are just really time consuming for us. And instead, of course, we should be meditating on the Word of God, thinking about his promises, just building ourselves up in the Lord, you know, and thinking about constantly, because we're bombarded by thousands and thousands and thousands per day of things that the enemy wants to project in our mind. And that's where the battle takes place. But we know in 2 Corinthians 1:20, the Word of God, the promises of God are yea and amen, and every one of them, and they're... And it's so vital for us to keep that in mind, that he's the one that's ultimately in control. And it's like even when I hope you guys don't mind if I take my sweater off. I'm just so all this stuff, but excuse me for my being relaxed here with this. I'm just so warm. But I was just thinking about, you know, that the enemy really wants to keep us occupied with other things. And of course, especially when we're looking at the election, thinking about these things, we're thinking, what's happening? Where is the world headed? You know, what's gonna happen now? You know, and we can think on those terms and be so distracted and so worried about things, but Christ tells us not to be worried, you know, about these things. And our greatest prayer, of course, is that Christ would come back today and set everything straight. And he will. And we really need to be bold. You know, and I know that me personally need to be bold with our faith and say, just tell the devil to shut up his big fat lying mouth, you know, and you know, press on, because the truth is that Christ is in control of everything, and it's not anything that has fallen outside of his control. And just read a verse here in 2 Peter 3:3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come on the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And so the world, of course, is saying that. You know, that's the mind of the world. They're mocking, and they're saying, well, okay, where is your God? You know, when is he coming back? You know, and we know that he is coming back. And he's not, it says in 2 Peter 3:9, that he is not slack concerning his promises. But rather he is long-suffering. And so what the world calls, you know, in a mocking way, they say he's not coming back. And we say we know our God, and we know he is coming back, and we know that he is long-suffering, and we know that it's all in his timing, and it's all for his glory. And until that time, in 1 Corinthians 15:58, the Word of God encourages us to be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, for we know that our work is not in vain. And we know that when Christ comes back, he will bring his reward, you know, with us, or with him to give to us. And so, it's just wonderful to know that, that we are not without hope, you know. And we don't have to question God, and even though we don't understand so many things. In Colossians 2:18, it says, let no one, I'm going to put my glasses on so I can see. It says, let no one cheat you of your reward. And our enemy would like to do that. He would like to discredit us and would like us to be involved with compromise in our life. And sometimes what happens when people don't understand what God is doing and they start overanalyzing things, their faith becomes weaker and weaker, and then they start compromising with things in life like sin, for instance, and flirting with things that the enemy brings, sublimation. Start flirting with these things, and these ideas come into our minds. And it's the enemy's his great plan is to get us to compromise, you know, with our faith and compromise on small things that lead to bigger things. And Matthew 5:13-14, it says that we are the salt of the earth, and we are the light of the world, and that is to be our testimony. And our testimony is just very, very important. And it's like it's nothing to ever be taken lightly. And it's one thing I think is lacking more and more in the world today is Christian integrity, you know. A person that just will not compromise with anything, you know, just presses on. And I know that beautifully in our ministry we have been taught so well just so comforting to know that we have so many people in our ministry that are such faith heroes, and, you know, they don't compromise with things the enemy brings in. And in Psalm 12:1, David is saying, the faithful, basically saying here, the godly man really ceases to exist, and the faithful are very scarce among the people. I'm paraphrasing that verse there, but he was saying that where do you find someone that has integrity? You know, where are they at? And now more than ever, we need to stand up, and we need to really shine. The light in us really needs to shine, because the world needs to see that, you know, needs to see a testimony. And there's really areas that we, like, it's so easy to shade the truth just a little bit, you know, to flirt with extramarital relationships, for someone to arrange corporate finances for their own benefit, you know. And it's easy to believe that the consequences are small, and that we think that it's easy to get into that kind of thinking that we are, well, after all, I'm a Christian, you know, I have a little bit of liberty here, you know, in these areas. But as Christians, it says in Romans 6:15 that, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? And it says, God forbid. We should not. We should have a great testimony. And there's a story that I was reading about in 1999, there was a I guess for the first time in like 47 years, there was these tuna fish that were in great abundance, were off the coast of Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And there was a great temptation for people to, even people who were not professional fishermen, to get in a boat and head out and try to get some of these tuna fish. And they were quite large, some of them. And there was even a rumor that there was a Japanese company that was paying $50,000 for one large bluefin tuna. And how, you know, I don't know what the size is for that, but that was what the rumor was. So people were jumping into boats and they were heading out to this, where the tuna were. They were like 30 miles offshore. And the first boat, I think the name of the boat was Christine Anne, and I think it was like, what was the size of the boat? I think it was maybe 17-foot boat, I think. And they were fishing for tuna, and of course, what they didn't know was the consequences of that. They thought it would be just an easy thing to do, and they could very easily get out there and catch tuna. Well, the boat was capsized because of the size of the fish. And then there was another boat called Basic Instinct. There was a little bit bigger boat, and it was like 29 feet. The size of the boat was 29 feet long. And it was so easy because the fish were really biting, and it's like it was so easy because pretty much as soon as you threw the bait and the hook in the water, you pretty much had a fish on the end of it. And one particular boat, this one, Basic Instinct that they called it, was actually hooked into a tuna that actually pulled the boat underwater. I mean, that's how big this. They later discovered that this tuna was 600-pound tuna, and it's hard for me to even imagine they could pull a boat underwater. I don't know how that's even possible, but it's like, I think it's like 270 kilos, yeah, approximately, something, yeah, like that. And it's just, and it's like that a lot of times whenever we compromise. I just love that example because it's like when we compromise with sin, a lot of times we don't really understand the full consequences of it, you know. And we think that it's easy just for a little indiscretion, how that can turn into something that is, the consequences are so great, you know. And in Psalm 31:10, the Word of God says, "My strength fails because of my iniquity." And then in Psalm 66:18, it says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And then in Romans 6:16, it talks about how if I yield myself to whoever I yield myself to, I become a slave to that very thing. And if I'm yielding myself in any way to compromise, it's so easy for that to become my master, and then I start serving that thing. And we can either yield ourselves to sin, which leads to death, or we can yield ourselves to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And really, we can make no mistake about it. It's like it's a time where people are really being sucked up by the world and being sucked up by materialism. Mm-hmm. And if you notice that, I don't know how it is here, but it's like in America, more and more you see these game shows that have incredible amounts of money that are being offered to people. And maybe you have the same kind of shows here. There's one that's called Deal or No Deal. Mm-hmm. Do you have a similar show here? Do you have it too? Is it, what's it called in Swedish?
Same thing.
Oh, it's called Deal or No Deal? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. But it's a Swedish person leading the show, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, it's like people have somehow this idea that, that's all I need to do. I just need to get on that show. I get on that show, and then all I need to do is win this money, and everything is solved for me, you know? But it's such a lie from the devil, you know, to think that that's all we need, you know, because I mean God didn't create us to be fulfilled with just material wealth. He didn't create us that way. And we can only be completely filled and fulfilled whenever we're in perfect relationship with Him, when we have this exchange of life with Him. I mean, then only then can we really be satisfied. And it's, you know, it's the greatest thing in the world when we discover that. And we do discover that's why we're here. I mean, it's like, sometimes I feel like, in this case, I'm preaching to the choir, you know, I feel like it really has nothing to do with you guys. So if you guys could just take off and we'll bring in some of the neighbors. But it's like, I don't know, you know, in your own personal life, it just confirms it over and over and over again. God is saying, He's saying, trust me, don't think about the details of life. Don't think about things that are too high for you. There are things that I know about and I'm planning that you have nothing to even think about, really. You just concern yourself with the things that I'm asking you to concern yourselves with. For prayer, I'm asking you to concern yourself with the Word of God. I'm asking you to meditate on my Word. I'm asking you to go soul winning, like Friday nights. Like, man, it's amazing what you guys are doing Friday nights. I'm sure somebody just showing me about that. I'm jealous, actually. I want to go Friday. That's how I just remember. Gosh, and you know, we go out Saturday mornings, and the response is just so amazing. It's like when we've been going to door to door, as I was telling somebody, you know, we have these little bracelets that we've been giving, you know, out. You know, that comes from the farmers. What do you call them? The farmers
outreach.
Farmers outreach. Yeah, it's that easy, huh?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like one I have on my wrist here now, but it's like, you know, and that each color. Have you seen those shirts?
Yeah, yes? We saw them. And
did you see them?
In the convention,
yeah. And it's like, it's such an amazing tool, especially when you see a young person and then you explain that to them and you give them one of the bracelets and you just see how their whole countenance lights up, you know, and it's like, it's so amazing because it's like God gives these creative ways to, you know, to minister to people, and it's like, the responses have just been fantastic. And it's like, my wife and I are out walking around the neighborhood just recently, and sometimes we do a prayer walk around where we live because it's safe enough that you don't have to put on Kevlar vest and walk around and do a prayer, you know. But we walk around our neighborhood and we just started praying that for people in general that we saw on the street. And one particular guy that was carrying a bag and walking up in front of us, and you know, I don't know, the Spirit maybe just laid it on my heart to pray for this guy. And then we walked up alongside of him and he said, "Isn't it a beautiful evening tonight?" And we said, yeah, it's a beautiful evening tonight. And then he said, "Then how can people believe in the Big Bang Theory anyway?" He says, "Can't they see that God made all this?" You know what I mean? It was like, we're just so blessed by this guy. And we spent like a half an hour just talking to this guy. But he was like, ministering the Word of God. And what we came to find out though is that the man was walking home from the Union Memorial Hospital, which we live right by, and he was carrying his bag of clothes apparently, but he had tried to commit suicide and that's where he was walking. But it's amazing that he had that kind of confession that, you know, that, and God led us to talk to that man. And it's like, and we're just so blessed by those things when God does that, you know what I mean? If nothing else, it was for our sakes. I mean, I don't know how much we blessed Him. Hopefully, we did. But it's just, and a person that doesn't go soul winning has really no idea how God can so amazingly use your mouth, you know, and lead you right to that person at that particular time that is so hungry for the Word of God and so hungry for fellowship, you know, and body life. And then how this, it's like, thank you. We've had so many people recently that said, "Thank you for coming to my door and telling me about this." And it's such an amazing thing. I was just reading, one particular person had said that if we have lost If we have lost our wealth, we've lost nothing. If we have lost our health, we have lost something. But if we have lost our Christian integrity, we have lost everything. And I think that it is so true, because sometimes we really have to put things in perspective, I think, that statement really does say a lot. You know, I mean, Christ to us means absolutely everything. Wealth means absolutely nothing. Our health means something, you know, because it's important to have good health. And I just love that. And I would rather be poor the rest of my life in ministering to people and being used by God and opening my mouth, because even a poor person can do that. Even a poor person can be used by God, and even a poor person can be an amazing, effective tool in the kingdom of God, you know. And the greatest blessings that God gives to us, it doesn't require money. And so I'm saying, no deal, you know, to those things, you know. And it's like, but the world is like pressing on, trying to get material things, like that's going to, like that's the answer, you know. And just to close here, I want, in Matthew 25:21, I want to be the one that Christ says to, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, you know. And, you know, you've been faithful over a few things, now I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into my joy. You know, and that, I love that verse, because that's going to be the end of our lives. It's like with David Frankenhauser. It's like, there's a guy that really ministered to people. It was like incredible. And if you heard his song, on the internet, I think, or was it Rosemary? He was just so, the anointing that came from the words in his song, was just like, it just blows you away. And the guy was there in South Korea, and one of the pictures I saw was, he's with a whole bunch of Korean kids who are kind of standing around him, and he's like this, you know, almost like you picture Christ and a bunch of kids standing around, you know. And it's no accident, you know, that he stepped out in front of a bus, and it's just, you know, and, you know, it's just perfectly God's timing, because it's like, you know, my wife and I were discussing that if he had retired from the military and went back, you know, the military people, you know, you would have lost track of him, you know, but it's like there was a bunch of military people that were there at the face-to-face, and it's like, and I know for a fact that they were extremely touched by this man's life. It's like there's no other way. And it was the timing. 3 weeks before he was to retire. And it was just so perfect, you know. And it's, and of course, only eternity is going to be able to really, we're not going to know until we get there. And we, you know, just what kind of an impact that this guy made. And just so blessed by those thoughts. And so we just... you just press on, and that's what everybody's doing here, and that's what we're doing there, and by the grace of God, and praying that this, somehow, that Obama would be the best president we've ever had, and that's my prayer, that he will be, and that he will, God will speak to him, that he will really be saved if he's not, you know, and that he'll be the best ever, and we're hopeful. Amen. So, thank you for staying.